Hi everyone, welcome to Corporate Chat Podcast. Your hosts for today are Emmanuel Blais and myself, Loïc Meunier. We both pursue a Bachelor of Commerce at McGill. Thank you to our sponsors, Deloitte, Cementov Development, LTD, and Red Bull. Our guest for today is Patrick Dussault, co-chairman and CEO of Namacor Holdings, a long-term investment firm he founded alongside his partner Stéphane in 2015, focusing on businesses with sales ranging from $20 to $100 million. Patrick graduated from l'Université du Québec à Montréal with a Bachelor of Commerce in Accounting and Finance in 98. So without further ado, here's our conversation with Patrick. Hi and welcome, Patrick. We've been looking forward to having you on the show. Let's dive right into our first segment. So you started your career as a commercial banker at both BMO and National Bank. You also had ownership of a McDonald's franchise before establishing your own firm. Can you share where you started your career and how you came across the opportunities that shaped it?
Yeah, so my career was to become an entrepreneur. And initially, my goal was to become a McDonald's franchisee. Because before being a bank lender, I was a McDonald's employee. So I was in love with the corporate structure of McDonald's. It was very cool. But when I did BMO and National Bank, I learned the way the real entrepreneurs were doing it. And I was very excited. And why did I move to become a lender? It was to learn how can I borrow money to buy my companies. So my career was to become an entrepreneur and understand the way I'm going to be able to borrow money or have some investor with me and learn all those, you know, important principles to build your business.
Okay, so you learned very valuable insight from owning a McDonald's.
Yeah, with McDonald's, it was the operation way of doing business. There's a playbook that they have a way of doing the same thing with all the restaurants. And it gives us the opportunity to build. So at Namacor now, we have a operational playbook. That's a McDonald's playbook, but adjusted to manufacturing. And McDonald's was, you know, how can you build a business with kids? Because the average age at McDonald's at that time was 18 or 17. So they run the food, they order, they do the cash. So how can you put in place a structure where after 3 months, you're going to be able to have a very good employee operating your store and, you know, make money at the end of it.
For how long did you own a McDonald's?
6 years. I was the owner of 5 restaurants.
Oh, wow. Okay. We'll go on to our next question. Originating from Quebec with a French background, do you feel this has helped you in any way during your career?
It's a good question. Yes. You know, every time you can speak another language than English, you can connect with the culture of people speaking another language. So our background is very different in North America, Quebec versus the rest of North America. And I think the initially it was a little bit more difficult because I was not speaking English. And I was more, not introverted, but more, you know, it was more difficult for me to connect with English people, English-speaking people. But I think it helps us understand and be flexible with human. Now we do business internationally, and instead of judging the other culture, we want to understand the other culture. So that's the approach. I think that's the good way of being a francophone. We were able to be more flexible and connect with the other culture.
So you did realize the importance of English pretty quickly.
Yes.
And how would you say you adapt to the environment and the English environment, and, you know, coming from a French speaking background, how did you adapt to that environment?
So 8 years ago, was living in Quebec, in Montreal, not really speaking English. I was reading and writing English, but speaking, it's another thing. And I did my university in a Francophone university. So when I decided, so I realized, you know, probably 10 years ago that I needed to speak English, because the business was growing outside Quebec, and outside Quebec, you need to speak English. So I decided to move to the US 8 years ago and immerse myself into that kind of environment, to be, you know, surrounded by English speaking people. And that was probably one of the best decisions in my life, because now the planet is where we can expand our businesses. And, you know, it's you need to speak English. If you keep only your native language and it's not English, it's more, not impossible, but it's very difficult to be able to express yourself and expand your world outside Quebec.
So now, you're a part of Namakor, and Namakor works both in Quebec and from the States. So it's essential for you to master both language, essentially.
Yes. Yes. So what we do at Namakor, we buy local business and we expand in North America. So organically and by acquisition. So it's smaller, it's lower middle market business. So business with profit, it's between 5 and 20 million. And so our trick is to buy local Quebec, where the business, so in Quebec, it's the manufacturing hub where we have a lot of phenomenal employee and companies, but it's local, it's French speaking, and it's difficult for them to expand. So our magic formula is to buy that kind of business and transform those businesses to be able to expand in the US and have that kind of value, the US value, because the multiple, you know, the value of the business will expand. And so now we have an office in Tampa, Florida, one in Boston, and one in Montreal. So we cover the full East Coast of North America, so from Canada to the US. And I think for us, it was a game changer to do that.
So essentially, you see the potential in Quebec, and some people might not have the opportunity to expand, but you give them that opportunity with a structure and a plan to...
Exactly. So they have good products, good, they have something great, but they're afraid and they don't speak most of the time English. So we jump in the business, structure the business like McDonald's playbook, put in place a strategy to expand in North America. Sometimes it's international. So we did a green field, so a new manufacturing plant in Casablanca, Morocco, to cover a contract internationally. But yes, the formula is to expand in North America, put in place a structure where we're going to be able to expand.
Well, that's awesome. Our last question for the personal section, with a demanding career that can be quite stressful, how do you ensure balance in your life?
So I'm a fan of meditation, yoga, and qigong. So every morning, so I want to be sure I have a good balance between personal, family, and business life. So every morning I'm gonna practice qigong meditation or yoga. Every night I do the same thing, and during the day I take the time when I go to the restroom or I do something alone. You know, I drive, I breathe, I relax. So it gives me the opportunity to be always fresh, because in business, as you know, and we have many businesses, so there's always something happening when you have, you know, 1,000 employees. And so it helps me relax, balance the day-to-day of my life. And when you're in business, it's 7 days. There's always something happening. So I have a discipline of eating well, going to the gym or tennis, and of course, meditation, Qigong and yoga.
Do you encourage your employees to do the same? Do you promote meditation to your employees, or they don't?
Yeah, it's a good question. Yeah, I talk about it, and some of them are, my partners are doing it now. It's okay. Fun. So we are three. And some of the employees have been doing it, and some are, you want to start doing something because they realize they feel good, because they become more neutral instead of judging or emotional. Because when we buy businesses, like today we're buying a business, so that, and some are stressed. So I say, hey guys, breathe, relax, and we're going to make it happen. So yes, the answer is some of the employees are starting to do it because they feel good doing it, but it's discipline to do it. You know, we are in the world of technology. You know, we need the Facebook and the all those, you know, social media app, and everybody is always looking at, and when they have time, they look at their technology, iPad or iPhone or whatever. So instead of doing that, I'm only breathing, relax, enjoy. So that's my way. It's not perfect, but that's the way I do it.
No, oh, we'll keep that in mind for exams that are coming up.
And now, can you tell us a little bit about your role and what you do as CEO of Namacore Holdings?
I'm more the guardian of the culture, the visionary, the strategic guy, networking. So I'm not in the day-to-day of the business, even though I'm connected with the team all the time or the CEOs. But my job is to be sure that where, you know, the objective we fix at the beginning of the year or for the coming 3 years, that we achieve them. But more essential, more importantly, is the culture. So a business it's like a person. So I'm in charge of, you know, sharing who we are, the way we do it. So we share that with the people outside Namacore, but also inside Namacore, sharing the story. So that I'm more. That's what I do in the day to day.
Perfect. So your investment extend to both the United States and Canada. How do you navigate the challenges of operating in two distinct countries, and what measures are taking to accomplish that goal?
It was very tough at the beginning because essentially the two cultures were so different, but now the culture of Namacore is North America. So I would say for the last 3 years, 4 years, it's like normal to adjust all the time. You know, you're a Quebecer investing in the US, you need to adjust to the US people. Mm-hmm. Or the same thing if you invest in Vancouver. So you need to adjust, and because it's a new community. Mm-hmm. So navigate that is, you know, our team needs to be very flexible. Mm-hmm. Non-judgmental, focus on people and culture, because you need to send a message that they will understand. If you have an office in Texas compared to Quebec, it's a very important difference. So you need to speak their language. So we always need to adjust in terms of legal. You do something in Ontario or BC or Alabama, you know, the legal, everything is different. So we have professional taking care of that. So in-house, the team is used to do that. It could be, you know, tax issues or legal issues. So initially we were focusing more on Quebec and were the add-ons, the acquisition we were doing in the US, but now we're more focusing on North America because the team is supporting everything. So we have run, for example, in the legal side, we have one law firm in Montreal in charge of everything we do internationally. So even though they cannot execute a deal in, let's say, Colorado or Morocco, they're going to find the right partner and they're going to manage the execution of the transaction. Same thing for accounting, same thing for recruitment. So we always have a leader based in Montreal.
Okay. So your headquarters are in Montreal?
The headquarters are in Tampa.
Oh, okay.
Florida.
Yeah.
But essentially all the professionals, you know, the initial professional with who we were building the firm, they are all based in Montreal. So okay. What the way we do business is we have the head office in Tampa, we have an office in Boston and one in Montreal. So everything that is administration, governance, investment is in the US. The rest is in Canada, in Montreal. So our team in Boston or Tampa will manage with our professional in Montreal all the relationship we do internationally.
Okay, and do you now mostly operate in the US or Canada, or is it a mix of both? And there's...
It's a mix of both.
Okay, cool.
Could you share how you first crossed a path with Stefan, who I think he is co-founder at Namacore also, and how you collaborate, your collaboration evolved, how you both manage your work together, including, let's say, task distribution and so on?
So Steph and I, we met in UQAM in Montreal. So the first class ever for him and me, we met, and we have been together since then. So we after university, he left to work with Bombardier, Planters, Nationex, and another firm. To learn the operation. So Steph is more the operation guy, M&A integration. And me after university, I did a master in finance and I did my banking career, McDonald's franchisee. And at one point when I was McDonald's franchisee, we came back together to create our first holding structure. So Steph was in charge of operation, day to day and everything. I was doing essentially what I do today, you know, vision, culture, networking.
And you still feel you both have the same values and the same idea for the
yes.
Holdings?
Yes. So in business, I'm very, very lucky because Steph, what he does, I don't like. Well, I can do it, but I'm not excited. And the same thing on my side. So Steph is who he is and I'm who I am. So I'm very, very lucky to have my business partner, you know, doing what I don't like.
That's awesome. How did Namacore become what it is today? What are some actions you made that help you differentiate yourself in the market?
Very good question. So Steph and I did 16 transactions with our first holding structure. And during the first years, we were building a playbook, an operational playbook. So what is very different, you know, the unique ability we have at Namacore compared to other firm. So we don't consider ourselves a private equity firm. It's more a long-term holding structure. So we do buyout. We buy industrial manufacturing companies and we keep them for long-term. But essentially, all the deal we do are, we call that off-market. So we approach the companies or they approach us and we do a deal, a friendly deal. And I would say 95% of the time, those companies are less sophisticated. So they don't have the structure to grow. So it's one-man show, one-woman show. you know, it's small structure and it's local most of the time, Quebec or Canada. And our vision is to, with our playbook, we jump in, we have an integration plan of our processes, we map the market to grow the business organically. So growing only the sales in the market or and M&A. So we have a specific roadmap to expand the business. So organically and by acquisition. And we are in the market, the people's the brand name is Namacore Holding. So for them, it's we hold longer term, we build companies. So that's the marketing around Namacore. It's not Namacore Capital. It's Namacore Holding. So we work in the operation to build the companies we own to become the leader in their niche market in North America. So essentially, that's the playbook, people-oriented culture. So that's the magic formula. So operation, we have our own in-house operational team. So zero private equity in North America have what we have. So it's more they buy, they organize the finance, they sell as soon as possible. So we see business with a different angle.
Okay, so it's more to like you not only help financially but also operationally. So you really help build a better structure to ensure long-term longevity.
Exactly.
Oh, perfect.
So you mentioned private equity and also long-term investments. I'm curious to know how long do you tend to, let's say, keep your investment and what affect the holding periods?
So when we invest in a business, we invest for 7 to 10 years compared to private equity firm in the US, it's 3 to 4. Yeah. In Canada, it's 4-5, sometimes 6. They say 5 to 7, we see a lot of 4-5. So we are in manufacturing. When you say manufacturing, you think of capacity. So you need to invest in capacity if you want to grow your market. So when we jump in a business, we always have a growth plan for 5 years. So we know it's 5 years, we're going to keep the business for 7. So that's the way we do it. So that's the first answer to your question. The second answer is we focus on operation and we focus on people. So people for us is, of course, the customers, but it's the people in the business. It's the supply chain. So the people in the supply chain, advisors. And so if you focus on people, you're going to we do think you're going to expand the business in a way where you're going to disturb the market because you focus on people, not on products. So people are coming to us to buy us because we build businesses where it could be a very good addition to bigger firm, bigger companies. So companies are coming to us. So it's more we don't go to market. They come to us. So that's the way we see success for us is let's become the best at what we do. And the big players will come at us and they're going to try to buy us.
What are some companies we might know that you've worked with in the past or as of right now that you can speak of?
So we have Gelpack. It's a packaging company. When we bought Gelpack 6 years ago, it was a local business, Quebec. Now we are number 3 in North America in what we do. So we bought businesses in the US and one in Canada. So that's a business. We manufacture specialized packaging for, I would say, food industry. But okay. It's B2B. You don't see the product in the retail stores, in grocery stores. Other company, Energy Reserve, we are in the Energy Reserve, so that's an important trend. We are in the flexible digital board. So you go to a gas pump. Most of the people still own, you know, like a car with gas. Mm-hmm. So when you go to a gas pump, you need to choose the type of gas you put in your mm-hmm. car. So there's three or four buttons you need to push. So that product, it's our product.
Oh.
So that gives you, and the biggest one, another company we have, one of their product is nails. So the biggest manufacturer of nails in Canada is like, in Yamashish. They do shine.
Like nails, nails.
Nails, it's new. Okay.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
So making the choice within the allocation seems to become more difficult with all those P fund, private debt fund, private credit fund, and so on, and more complex. How do you attract and keep investors?
So the way we do it, so we raise capital to invest. Mm-hmm. So we have specialized tools to do it. So on the equity side for us, on the debt side, so in Canada, it's not that popular, the fund for debt. So we don't, we track them a little bit. We see them, they call us, but we don't use it. We do think the best place to do business in terms of cash could be equity, institutional investors or banks. It's Canada because it's well organized, it's well priced, easy to, you know, to be in the market. It's not that complicated. In the US, you probably have 7,000 banks, and I don't know how many private equity firm, and you have, you know, those debt, fund of debt and fund of fund, and there's a lot of specialized group. So it's difficult to track. I would say we keep track of 3 to 5 group we're already doing business with, or we want to do business with, because if you cannot track everybody, it's more mm-hmm. It's more a relationship. So when we like a group and the mentality and the culture, we prefer to stay with them.
Speaking of that, let's say, what categories of investors typically allocate capital to your funds?
Investor, we do business with family offices. We do business with private wealth investor.
Okay.
Some institutional investor as well. Mainly in Quebec, the institutional investors. Family offices, we do business. I would say it's 60% Canada and 40% approximately in the US. Okay.
Really insightful. Thank you for that. And it leads directly to my next question, because, you know, sometimes I'm guessing when you're taking over a new company or you're investing in a new project, you might have to invest with other firms to partner with them. How do you ensure that their culture is similar as yours? And how do you go about selecting a specific firm for a transaction or a deal?
So to decide with who we're going to invest or with mm-hmm. who we decide they're going to invest in our vehicle, because we can have co-investor, they invest in the company, mm-hmm. or investors through our structure. It's all about people. It's all about the relationship. They need to understand what we do. Mm-hmm. We build companies, it's longer term, we take care of people. So that's an important point for us. And we do the same thing when we buy a company. If the culture cannot be adjusted to what we do, what we believe in, we won't buy the business. And sometimes we can see very good potential transaction, but the culture, it's not us. So we won't jump in that kind of buying the business, that kind of business. There's a lot of opportunities for us. The market is coming to us. We're so specialized in what we do. So some investors, they don't want to sell to a private equity firm because they know they're going to push for numbers. They're going to make return, not build something. And some strategic investors, some potential seller, they don't want to sell to a strategic investor. So a strategic investor is that it's a competitor. Mm-hmm. So they come to us, and there is a lot of potential transaction for us, but we need to have a fit with them. So when we meet them, we walk the floor. We don't want to jump in a business where the numbers are phenomenal, but the culture will be so difficult to adjust. And we did one transaction at the beginning of the career, our career, Steph and I. It was a very good deal financially, and the culture, it was the best learning experience ever. Because the culture, we tried to adjust, but the culture was very, very negative. In every way, they were trying to extract dollars from the customers, selling, you know, mentioning things that were not true, but they want to sell. So, and we changed everything, but at the end, the culture was still a little bit like that, and we don't want our name to be stuck in that kind of culture.
Yeah, you don't want to associate yourself with a company that doesn't represent your values.
Exactly. Well said.
Perfect. What are some traits that you look for when recruiting at the analyst or associate level?
It's first, it's human. So we always say in-house, in the business, it's human first. In everything we do, it's human first. So if the human is strong, when it's tough in the business, we're going to work as a team to go through the challenges. And it's going to be easier to, you know, to work all together because it's more, it's going to be positive, similar values. So that's the first thing we look at hiring. Everybody, you know, the job we are, the people we were searching for, it's always the first value. And second is the best for the job. You know, the profile we're searching for, if the human is good, we're going to look at the profile. And the profile for us is the execution, work hard. Hard, it's not time. For us, it's find solution, be proactive. Search for the answer. Come to us. Ask question. So it's essentially, it's more human. Work hard, but hard again. It's not time. It's let's do it all together. And sometimes in what we do, we have a deal to close. So the schedule can change a little bit. We need to close a deal. Let's say on Friday. And we're not there yet, and we need to work on Saturday and Sunday. We need to do it, but it's not the way we don't. If it's essential, we need to be flexible. So flexible, it's part of the value we have.
Do you mostly recruit in like Montreal, Boston, Tampa, or do you offer like online position as well?
Very good question. So the way we are structured is the team from Boston and Montreal, once a month, everybody's is coming to Tampa to work all together. So in Tampa, we have more offices. So the people in Boston and Montreal, they love it.
Of course,
it's cool. So, and the team in the U.S. will go to Montreal to visit, or where we have manufacturing plants, but essentially all the head office of the operating companies are in Montreal. So okay. They're going to go to Montreal. They're going to do things together. We do two retreats per year all together. So team building, it could be in Montreal, it could be wherever. The last one now that in December we're gonna do it in Tampa. The last one in the prior one was in Riviera Maya. So we did a kind of strategic retreat there. But to answer your question, we're very, very flexible. If you have, we have the right candidate, and need to be bilingual, by the way. So French, French, English. At the beginning, we had you know people only speaking English, and bilingual. So Montreal, it's everybody's bilingual, but in the US, it's only English speaking. But now all the new higher people will be English and French. So that's a key point.
Yeah, it creates a sense of community. No one is left behind, and the French speakers still feel like they have their place and their value. That's a really good thing. I love hearing that. Our last general question before we go on to rapid fire. One thing that seems to come back often on your website is that passion is an essential condition to your work. What motivates your enthusiasm for your job?
I like working with people. I like closing deals, building things, you know, the complexity of strategy and execution to build companies. It's fun. I like to see people expanding. When you see the business the first year and you see the business the fifth year, it's great. And you see the evolution of people. So building things, that's a passion for me, and building things with people.
So you like challenges? It's cool.
Yeah, it's fun, and different culture and different connections, and not, you know, always every day we learn something. So I love doing what I do. I'm excited every morning. So I wanted all the team to be excited every morning. It's not potential. It's not feasible to all the time, but
yeah, that's the way it needs to be, though. That's really good. So our last section, rapid fire questions. You have a really short time to answer. So really, pitch the first idea that comes to mind. We have six. So whenever you're ready, we'll start.
I'm ready.
Perfect.
So in one sentence, how would you define success?
Happiness.
Perfect.
What is the best piece of advice that someone has ever given to you?
What you think you attract, or you are what you think.
Yeah,
so
that's really good.
The third one, what was your dream job as a child?
Yeah, to be free and build businesses. It was my dream. I do it. Yeah.
It had always been what you like saw yourself doing.
When up to 10 years old, I was hoping that one day I'll be a hockey player. But when I've read the biography of Power Corporation founder, I was probably 11 or 12, and I said, okay, I want to do that one day. And I've been doing it. And my plan was to understand the way to do it. That's you see the banking and the McDonald's. So McDonald's, to learn how to operate and multiply the type of companies I can own. So everything was kind of related with the vision.
Okay. If you were to write an autobiography, what would be the title?
Follow your passion.
That's really good. What is the first thing you do in the morning?
Stretch and meditate.
Every morning, even on the weekends?
All the time. And at night, I do the same thing.
How long do you meditate for?
It depends on the time or the feeling I have. But in the morning, I would say it's during the week, it's probably around 20, 40 minutes. And at night, it's always around 30. And during the weekend, I wake up at the same time, but I have more time because I don't go to the office. So I'll do a little bit more, or I practice different type of exercise.
So you really would advise to take the time in the morning to just like ground yourself and really take a good start to the day.
Yeah, that's you know, that's a key point. If you start your day watching or looking at your iPhone, you wake up, you look at the iPhone, you're already out of yourself. So you're going to be in the news, this guy did this, that. So instead of connecting with who you are, you need to be connected to who you are if you want to achieve what you want. So you need to know what you want. And a lot of people, when I give seminars to MBA classes, I'm always shocked. 95%, they don't know what they want to do in their life, even though they're at the MBA. So I said, okay, we have 20 million and you have a year to live. What would you do if you need to work, but you can decide what you want, you're going to do. And now they switch because they're going to die. They have the money to do it. And now they think about, okay, what will excite me? So that's the question we should ask. We have one life. Okay, let's do it. Let's achieve what you want to achieve. You know, I just said follow your passion, but I would change it for the title is realize your dream, because that's life. Mm-hmm. That's your life. Let's do it.
We would have one last question for our listeners. Would you have an advice on how to plan and live an authentic life in business?
Yeah, it's a very good question. I would say do your life plan. What do you want to achieve? Where do you want to go? What's your dream? What excites you? What kind of things you will be excited to work? What kind of industry? What kind of product? Do your plan. What kind of family you want? Where you want to live? Plan something you're excited to achieve and do the follow-up and achieve it. You know, the dream, your life, it's one life. Plan your life to achieve your dream. You can do it. You know, think of me 8 years ago, I was not speaking English. Now we have multiple companies in North America and Africa. And if I can do it, you can do it.
Thank you so much for taking the time with us for this episode. We really value your time and expertise. We're really glad you agreed on being a guest for Corporate Chat. And we wish you the best for success in career.
Thank you, Patrick.
Thank you so much. I wish you all the best.
Thanks for listening to the show. If you like what you heard, feel free to drop a comment or follow us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, YouTube, or our social medias. Have a good one and see you next time.
The sole purpose of this podcast is to educate and to inform our listeners. It is by no means a substitute for professional guidance by qualified experts. This podcast is provided on the understanding that it does not constitute financial or other professional advice or services. Instead, we encourage you to discuss your career options, as well as financial undertakings with other professionals who specialize in wealth, securities, and asset management or any other field in financial services. The information, opinions, and recommendations presented in this podcast are for general information only, and any reliance on the information provided in this podcast is done at a personal and individual risk. This podcast should not be considered professional advice. Guests who speak on this podcast express their own opinions, experiences, and conclusions. The views expressed on this platform are personal opinions and only, and should not be construed as financial advice for a given situation or from a given institution. While all attempts are made to present accurate information, it may not be appropriate for specific circumstances, and information may become outdated over time. No firm, nor any company providing financial support, endorses or opposes any particular view or tools discussed in this podcast. This podcast is available for private, non-commercial use only. Advertising, which is incorporated into, placed in association with, or targeted towards the content of this podcast is forbidden. This podcast may not be edited, modified, or redistributed. The Corporate Chat podcast has no liability for any personal activities in connection with this podcast or for personal use of this podcast in connection with personal websites, computers, or playing devices. Moreover, the Corporate Chat podcast makes no warranty that this podcast or the server that makes it available is free of viruses, worms, or other elements or codes that manifest contaminating or destructive properties. McGill University and our sponsors expressly disclaims any and all liability or responsibility for any direct, indirect, incidental, special, consequential, or other damages arising out of any individual's use of, reference to, reliance on, or inability to use this podcast or the information presented in this podcast.